Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the underwear head.
Okay. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about running, designing, writing, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. What about this time?
This time, we will be discussing debriefs, not how to take off briefs,
okay,
not how
it.
To debrief
yeah,
your sexual partner, but how to talk about what just happened.
Yeah.
You know, and this is something that applies to all walks of life, not just role playing, but like, you know, debriefing a work project or a book, you know, a book club.
Book
That's
club
a debrief.
Is, yeah. It's a thing, I guess, that like, We're putting words to it, and we're going to talk about it in almost like an academic, with some sort of academic language, but it is a thing that most people do all the time anyway. You do something fun, and you talk about it afterwards, and, you know, you talk about, oh, well, you know, it'd be fun next time,
exactly.
That sort of thing.
You debrief.
Really, that's all it is, but we are going to be talking about it in some, like, with some structure. And,
with some structure
and
like...
With some
best
precise language
yeah.
and stuff like that. So,
yeah. So first, we're going to talk about just what is a debrief. It's, you know, the opportunity to reflect. We're talking about that. Then we're talking about reflection and how that can help you improve. And then we're talking about preparing for the debrief. Because, you know, prepare for it. It's going to make it better.
Yeah.
And then, like, is it work? Yes, but is that, you know, okay? And how to kind of, you know, get your mind right about, like, you know, doing extra work, I guess. All right, so debriefs, opportunities to reflect.
So like I said in the beginning, this is a thing that you probably do all the time with your friends to some degree. Whenever, you know, you go, like, meet at the park for, like, a pickup game or something, or whatever sort of outing, and you talk about, like, hey, next time, what if we did it this way? Or what if we added this? That sort of thing. The taking a moment, doing some preparation and thinking about this, and setting aside some deliberate time to, on purpose, debrief your role-playing. And I think maybe I should clarify real quick, we are generally speaking to game masters here, but this is something you're gonna, like, put to your players.
Yeah, and players can call for it.
Players could also call for it, but, you know, if players were calling for stuff and scheduling stuff, they'd be the game master.
If you are calling the group together for scheduling, you might be a game master,
right? So, yeah, it is an opportunity to reflect, and it is a deliberate and structured opportunity to reflect for the purpose of affecting change and improvement to the experience going on.
Right, because it's a lot easier to, like, improve and do things better and learn what did or didn't work when you fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
Surprise. Put it on the board. Oh, yeah. It's already on there.
A bunch of times.
Communication
is like the main thing on account of this hobby being social. So, yeah, it is an opportunity to reflect.
Right. And, like, you learn, I already said it. You learn what worked well, what didn't, when you talk about it and reflect. Right.
Yeah. So, and that leads into this kind of main one here, after reflection, what is the point of a debrief? Is that after reflection can come change and improvement.
Right, so you learn some stuff, right? You're talking about it, you've learned some things.
I think
so you can...
This first one real quick.
You're just going to knock it down?
Comes at the end.
Sure.
Because that's the...
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
In the debrief, it's important not to try to change everything at once. Can't think of an example right off the top of my head, but say you, I don't know, you're making coffee. And you're like, oh, I don't know, this coffee could be better. So next time, I'm going to not use a French press.
Yeah.
I'm going to use a different grinding method. I'm going to use different beans. Mm.
Completely change and your then, whole
okay,
process.
Great. This coffee was better, but like I don't know exactly why it's better because I changed too many variables.
Which thing? Yeah, you failed to apply the scientific method. You just did something else. Mm. You gotta like, don't try to change everything at once. You gotta think about the different aspects of it and work incrementally. It would be a wild thing if you had like, you know, say you had a bum first couple sessions of like your fresh D&D campaign that you just started, and you know it came up that there were a few things that players were, you know, disappointed with, or maybe you were like, ah, I wasn't able to pull off what I wanted to. So next time we're not playing the same game, and I bring a different game system and
new
be like,
characters.
Hey, redo your characters, but in this you know, we're gonna switch to Pathfinder, Dragonbane, or whatever. But remember your characters, remake them in this, and we'll do the next session in a completely different everything. Well, you're not gonna learn anything from anything as drastic and overhauling.
Especially
as that.
If like this was like maybe your first
outing,
role playing,
yeah,
right? Because like you gotta learn D&D first, right? It's taking a couple sessions. That's why it could be dragging. Mm. And then you switch systems, and now you gotta relearn a whole new system.
Right. You don't know which thing was the speed bump until you know, kind of break it down, talk about it, and don't try and mess with everything at once. Just talk about the experience holistically. We like that word here now. And, you know, and then start focusing on the aspects, the separate aspects that come together to make it a holistic experience, and you can, you know, make minor adjustments to that. Reflect on the experience as a whole. Don't try and change everything at once next time, but start to think about like the things that make up the whole. And you'll start to identify the sort of like the mixers and the sliders that you can tweak and you know, swap in and out. And over time make gradual improvements, especially if you're being, you know, diligent and talking about your sessions after every session.
Right. Like if it's, you know, the D&D example, right? You're like, okay, well, I really don't like how I have to roll, or, you know, you get player feedback of, like, we don't like how often we have to roll for perception and, like, investigation. And it's like, okay, do we change the game system, or, like, do I adjust how often I call for those as the game master?
You learn, you know, some
there's several where, different ways to approach that problem.
You could write down their passive perception scores on your side, and so you're not calling for those rolls. You're just like, okay, if it's under a certain amount of difficulty, I tell you because your number beats this. I know that. You see this, and you can start to, you know, deliberately and not wildly make refinements to your process and their experience.
Yeah. This is all like about being deliberate. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, as we say all the time for everything, right? This is not the only way to debrief.
No.
I mean, basically, I just ripped this outline from like a professional development presentation I heard about debriefing from like the management center.
The things that like teachers or other professionals would go to learn to get better at their job. This is, you know, this feels very... Well, when you hear this stuff or when you read an outline like this, you're like, yeah, all that... You know, makes sense, and you might even already be doing it. But the point of this is that you maybe haven't thought about it this way,
right? Or before. Put a name to it, or you know, so like just acting with intention is a big thing in the workspace right now. Mm. So another important thing about
I had a little joke,
okay,
and I've stumbled on it.
Uh-oh.
Damn it! Acting with intention, big in the workspace right now. And why would you do less in the fun thing, right? So, like, you know, why would you apply yourself more at fucking work?
At work?
Than you're applying to the thing that you actually care about and enjoy spending time with. That is,
well said.
An advocacy for, I guess, professional development, hobby development.
Hobby development.
Personal development in your recreational spaces. Right. Why would you not try as hard in that space as, you know, they're asking you to try at fucking work where you have to be and you probably don't even like it?
And you better remember that, because it's going to sound real familiar, because I want to bring that point back at the very end of this.
Okay. Okay. So longer the subject,
right? So the deeper. Yeah. A tenet about this, or a best practices for like reflection time, is there should be a correlation between like how big the thing you're debriefing was, like how long it took, or like, you know, how much effort took to do it, and the length of the debrief, right? Like if you know, are debriefing just the session, you know, 10, 15 minutes, sure. You
could
know,
probably do that 3 hour session space,
right?
Just when everyone's getting packed up and talking about what's going on for the rest of the day after the session is over, a casual conversation about what went well and, you know, reflections on the experience.
Right. But like just on that session.
But just on that session, right. You wouldn't want to expand that. You wouldn't want to extend the scope beyond what you just did in so little time.
Mm-hmm.
If you just completed like, you know, a whole adventure module or like a big multi-year campaign, basically all we're saying is like set aside the appropriate amount of time for the size of the thing that you are talking about.
And like we could put this on just the episode board, maybe not the main board, but the episode board, like give the debrief, respect the time it takes to debrief. Mm-hmm. Don't try to jam it into 5 minutes at the end, right? You just did this epic year-long campaign and like they beat the bad guy and you did this sick monologue, epilogue, wrap up, and then like everybody's packing up to go, and they're like, "All right, before real quick,
what'd you think? What? Yeah,
everybody's gonna be like, man, that was dope.
That was dope.
See you later.
But like, yeah, now it's time to go. I don't have time to like go back to the, you know, the first couple sessions and think about like how I got to where I am now with my character and the, you know, it's just, yeah."
Right. So, like, in that
respect
scenario,
the time it would take to get into whatever the scope of you're trying to debrief.
Yeah. So, like, if you finished a long campaign and you're like, okay, what's next? Perfect time for a big debrief. I'd be like, okay, what is next?
Yeah.
First, let's talk about what we did.
Because that could be very natural lead-in to, you know, yeah, this is, you know, 18-month campaign. Great. Over now. The next time we get together, we're probably not ready to jump into whatever the next thing is. So let's talk about this thing and our, you know, our notes, our debrief notes about what we liked and what we didn't like and what went well and, you know, what we would add or improve or whatever, can lead you into whatever the next thing is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
What adventure are we going to run next? What game system are we going to try next? Because it's not just about your like narrative experience with it. You could also debrief stuff about like the mechanics.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I'm interested in a more you know, maybe you've been playing a very like narrative heavy thing. Like next time, you know what I would like to get into is something with more like gritty management, like resource management and tactical gameplay, stuff like that. And that's not the sort of thing that would come up or be very actionable if it did came up
like mid campaign.
Yeah, in the brief little after action discussion of a single session. Stuff like, as a whole, I liked this, but next time it would be cool if we tried a game with these sort of different mechanics. That type of thing won't really come up or be useful or meaningful until you're like looking back at the whole thing as a whole, and you need to set aside the appropriate amount of time to debrief something of that scope.
And that being said, of course, I think there is a way to use debriefs to move that towards like that goal. So like, for example, in this example, right, a player wants more resource management and grid tactical combat. That's not something that will change overnight, right? Going back to earlier, what we said is like, don't try to do big change everything at once. So like over the course of the campaign, just like, you know, keep bringing it up in like the after session action report. It's like, okay, you know, I like this and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, this could be an opportunity, right? The thing that we did today, I want to see more of that, Game Master. And like the Game Master can take that feedback and like, okay, now I know what you want. That's great. Thanks for telling me. Thanks for the communication. Look at the board. And then like the next session, they add a little bit more and be like, how'd that do? Is that, yeah, is that good? More? Is that, less?
Right.
What do you think?
If you're debriefing regularly, incremental improvements and adjustments can...
Right, little things.
Over the course of a campaign or an adventure or whatever, can, you know, turn the thing from where it started into the thing that everyone's like fully enjoying, where maybe it started off, you know, possibly suboptimal in one way or another.
And like, you might be thinking, wait a second, Two-Headed Game Master, I'm doing this all the time, expressing my wants and needs and what I thought went good and what I thought could be improved on. Am I debriefing and I didn't know it? Yes. The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Because like as not, you didn't go to Remsel, our high school. So you just don't know.
But they made us debrief everything.
Yeah, you just don't know what it was called.
Multiple times a day.
But like, you're probably debriefing more than you think.
Yeah.
If you went to Remsel, you knew what a debrief was
That Brian's gonna have to finish many drinks.
I know. this is a party episode. Okay, jokes aside.
Yeah.
The more you do debrief, the more you debrief, the better you get at it.
Yeah, the better the debriefs will
be. Because like you're probably doing it already.
Yeah.
But like you might be doing like, you know, shorter or. You might not be giving the time it needs and being like walking out the door and being like, oh, that was great, Game Master. I'd love to see, you know, where that side quest leads.
Yeah.
And the Game Master's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Oh, no.
What one?
Right. And how much do you feel that way?
Yeah.
How intensely do you feel that feeling? Should I be factoring that into my preparations for next week?
Right. So, yeah, the more time you set aside for it, just like anything you practice, you will get better at it. It will become more efficient and more beneficial.
Yeah. The more you do, the better it will all be. And then the last sort of thing in this reflection leads to improvement thing is that there's a commitment element to reflection.
Right.
Reflection without commitment to improvement leads to nothing. The point of this reflection is to improve the overall experience and you know, further develop your skills as a game master and players' skills as players and players' enjoyment as players and your enjoyment as a game master. But reflection doesn't lead to change unless there's also commitment to change. The debrief, which you're already probably doing, is maybe lacking the like commitment aspect to the point of having this conversation is to be committed to making the improvements that arise from reflective conversation.
Yeah, and not just like when we say like commitment to improvement, not just like general, oh, let's be better.
Yeah.
Like the point of this is being very intentional, right? Mm-hmm. Like as we said. So like committing to a specific improvement, like I think we could get better at tactical combat.
Yeah.
So like use your debrief space to intentionally move towards that outcome, right? Because like everybody wants to get better, right? That's a pretty good goal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
a very like broad, general, nebulous goal.
So as you get better at debriefing, you should be able to start setting very specific goals, like getting better at tactical combat, right? And that's not just at the game master and says, you know, game master, make it better.
Yeah, make your combat encounters
Players
better.
Can also improve,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, well, we could use cover. We could communicate in character. We could communicate more about
we could
what
put our phones down and so we deploy. Don't have to have the game master re-explain the situation every time it's our turn. You know, things like that.
Right.
So, yeah, committing to outcomes will help you debrief because you're working towards a specific thing rather than just like, you know, what are all the ways that we're not doing good stuff?
Right.
It's like, well, you know, specifically tactical grid combat. It's like, okay, so how's our battle map situation? Like, is that working for us? Like, are we hand drawing things? Is it theater of the mind?
Yeah.
Right.
Is there an improvement?
You can really drill
down.
Yeah.
Aspect that if that improvement was made, it would improve the tactical combat experience in this example.
And that will give everybody, players and game masters, better ways to prepare for the debrief, right? If you set those specific outcomes, because it's like, put it in everybody's mind, really critically think about how the tactical combat's going, right? If you say that beforehand, then you run the session, people will have more or better, I guess, not necessarily more, but better notes about, like, you know, because they'd be actively thinking about it while it's happening rather than like, oh yeah, I didn't think about it while it was happening.
Right.
Which is important for preparation, which is our next thing we wanted to talk about.
Yeah. The thing we've said a bunch of times already this episode is that you're probably already doing it. Whenever you do anything, you know, social or any like planned thing, when you talk about what we should do next time or what was fun about what we just did, the difference between what we're talking about right now and what you're already doing is probably like, have you prepared at all for the idea of having a debrief? The debrief is happening naturally. It's part of just like human socializing, we think. But when your goal is improvement and you're committed to the improvement that comes from these goals, the things we just said, it works better if you've brought some prepared material to the debrief. And when we say that, we don't mean like bringing a big old, you know, conference workbook to the thing. We're talking, you know, more casual than that. But
we're
still some preparation.
We have some ideas about, like, you know, how to prepare without bringing that giant ass binder, without over preparing
and asking your players to work through it, because you don't want to give homework. Right.
Yeah, I mean, there should be a little homework. You can have a little homework in role-playing.
You can ask, I think, yeah, you can ask your players, like, hey, be thinking about this.
Yeah, so questions are a great way to have a more structured debrief, right? So maybe you decide on questions ahead of time, right? Like, you've, as a group, committed to an outcome, and, like, game masters crafted up some specific questions that they think are going to help move towards that outcome. Right. So like examples are, you know, doing the tactical like grid combat thing again is like, how did movement work?
Yeah.
How did you feel movement work? What could be, you know, better? Whatever.
Yeah. Taking the thing and breaking it down. What are the elements of it?
Right.
The
how elements, is action economy?
Yeah. There's the presentation, the grid, you know, how are you doing that? There is, action economy, all the different components that make up that experience. So, you know, think about it. What are those components, break it down, and you're like, all right, so these things, what do we think about this thing? What do we think about this thing? What do we think about this part of it? Mm-hmm. And having that, like, and when we say, you know, better with specific questions, better with preparation, this could fit on a sticky note.
Yeah.
You know, we're not advocating for more preparation than that in most cases, but just the act of preparation itself, we're advocating for that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so we talked about, like, giving the debrief, respecting the time it takes to debrief, right? So also respect the time it takes to prepare. So, like, if you want to debrief your entire year, 18-month-long campaign, mm-hmm. right, it's probably best not to just say, okay, well, after we wrap it up, you know, be prepared to stay an hour to talk about it, you know. Let people soak in, one, the conclusion of that and be like,
feel good
about
it.
Just talk about the conclusion and then give your players and the game master, too, some space to prepare.
Yeah.
And, like, really, you know, let it sink in and let them process it on their own time. And then that way, the next time you guys get back together, you know, people come with things and, like, maybe if they're studious, they have, like, a little note on their phone that's like, I really like this and this and this. I didn't like this so much. Or, like, here's my idea for an improvement.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, scheduling a separate debrief is just as hard as scheduling a session. Probably more so because...
The fun playing of the game that you're that you're gathering for. You're gathering for what? Study hall time about this?
So it's probably harder to schedule for a specific debrief than it is for a session because study hall? What are you, a nerd?
Homework? Fuck. It's supposed to be fun. It is supposed to be fun, but yeah. So, you know, just don't be too onerous with that. I would say... I mean, like a lot of stuff we talk about on this show, this is aspirational. It'd be cool if, you know, everyone was as into it and thought about it this hard. But, you know, not everyone does. And so, you know, don't make it more onerous on the participants than what they've already committed to, which is to show up periodically to play the game. Like, the next time... If you finish something, right, the next time, say, all right, so we're not playing the next time we gather this adventure because we beat this adventure. The next time, let's gather in the same time frame that we already had kind of set aside for this, and we'll talk about it a little bit and, like, make the, you know, group collective decision about what we want to do next.
Yeah.
Based on first that debrief and then lead that into commitment to improvement. What's the actionable thing? The actionable thing is, what are you going to do next? And
right. And, like, of course, you know, that's the assumption that there will be a next, right?
Yeah.
It's assuming that you're role playing with your friends who you're not going to just, like, completely ghost.
Right.
Right. So use that as a hack to get a debrief. Use that, like, schedule time and be like, okay, we're done.
What if next time is the session zero for the next one? But what that involves is, let's really quick talk about, not really quick, but, you know, with the appropriate and respectful amount of time to what you already did, debrief it, talk about it, and then lead that into, okay, so who wants to run the next thing? What game system are you going to run? Maybe even get a session zero in and build your new characters for that.
Yeah. Or start the session zero. You don't have to finish, right? Okay, so we do want to give you something, like, actionable about, like, how to prepare. Or in the debrief, like, how to take notes, I guess. Because in, you know, the... professional development, like, presentation, I ripped this from them. It's called a Foursquare. And I was familiar with
Foursquare. I don't think it's bad for being ripped from something else, though.
We didn't come up with this, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, yeah.
This is, like, people a lot smarter than me and like, on this subject created this.
Well, you know, they're corporate consultants.
Well, I meant, like, they're smarter than me on this subject. They know more about debriefing than I do. Hey, man, it's early in the morning. And I'm a
they're
deep.
Smart enough to make a lot more money than me doing something stupid. So maybe,
Who's the real?
Yeah, who's the real idiot?
Okay,
this guy.
A foursquare. It's called a foursquare because there are four components. So there's a drop, an add, a keep, and an improve.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's like a nice little thing. You can get your, you know, notepad out and just draw across, you know, a foursquare. So, like, first you talk about stuff you want to drop.
Yeah.
Right, like things that didn't go so good. Things were unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
things you didn't have fun with and you would prefer not to do. If someone's like, I didn't enjoy the part where we, like, you know, we're really stickly about managing resources and overland travel mechanics.
Right.
If someone's like, I don't enjoy that part of the game.
I didn't enjoy that I had to count my arrows.
Yeah. Okay. That's where you put that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Right. That's some actionable stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
And like it can be more conceptual too,
mm-hmm.
Right? Of like just do stuff less.
Yeah.
Right? Like I think we had too many combats. I think we had too much talking.
Just like
whatever,
overall the balance was a lot of combat encounters and not as many of the, you know, free form mm-hmm. role playing, and that'd maybe go in the improve square.
Well, so
right.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's worth talking about the difference between a drop and an improve.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it as improve is let's get better and do more of.
Okay.
Drop is let's get rid of, do less of.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, because improve, right, you're trying to improve your game,
mm-hmm.
right? Gotta have game.
But it becomes a thing where, like, a lot of actionability comes from that. Mm-hmm. So, like, if one person has drop on counting ammunition,
sure.
they're like, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
They have dropped that. And everyone else has improve mm-hmm. on the, like, you know, resource tracking part of the game. Well, then you know, okay, so one person really didn't like it at all, and everyone else felt like they were okay with it, but it
could be
better. They're like, all right, so concession. One player, we're probably mm-hmm. not going to count every single arrow.
Right, but we're, still
but we're not
like
gonna,
the counting.
But we're not going to completely get rid of resource management.
Right, and our favorite pedestal right now, I don't know. Our favorite thing to prop up right now is like resource dice,
mm-hmm.
right? Not count every single arrow,
but
just like general resource.
Usage dice. You roll it and it either like stays the same where you have some or it decreases on a certain amount of roll or whatever. So, you know, find that middle ground mechanic based on a sort of composite look at everyone's feeling about that specific thing. And that's another reason why I like this Foursquare preparation model is because it can apply to basically anything. It can apply to an entire session or it can apply to an entire mechanic. You could give it to your players and be like, what do you think about combat in this game?
Yeah.
Here's the Foursquare thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a lot of like really granular, precise feedback about one aspect of the game. Or you can just be like, hey,
general, right?
Drop, add, keep, improve the entire campaign.
Right. And like that.
And then you're looking at it very high level.
Mm-hmm. And that comes back to the commitment of the outcome. It's like, what outcome are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you're looking to improve the combat system, do a foursquare specifically for combat.
For the combat system.
Okay. So next box is add. Add is for stuff that was
not there.
Not there at all.
Yeah.
Right? Again, difference from add and improve. Improving are things that were already present.
Right. Where you're like, there was nothing sexy in this campaign.
Mm-hmm. Add.
Add.
Add sex.
There was no... This whole experience had zero sex appeal. And if only one person says that and nobody else, you know, shares that shares that you know, opinion. Nobody else gives you that same feedback. You're like, well, that's an outlier. Maybe I could throw them a bone in one or two sessions later on. But if everyone is like, hey, there is a thing we didn't get to do. Yeah. And everyone agrees on it. And you're like, all right, that's very actionable and makes it very easy to commit to change based on these reflections and put that in your next whatever offering, in your next campaign or just in the next session if you're doing it session by session.
Unlike the drop square, I think the add square can have a lot of crossover with improve.
Okay.
Right? So, like, those two work better than the drop together, I think, because, like, oh, we want to improve the progression system.
And sometimes improve something means adding something that isn't there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, so then there's the keep box.
And this is just what's working good.
Right. Mm-hmm. The stuff we don't need to change right now. Because you gotta, you know, in critique and revision stuff, you know, it's easy to focus on the bad and what wasn't working, right? You should highlight the good.
You should. But also, what I would imagine is, you know, if you were to do this every session for a year, the keep box would probably be pretty empty a lot of the time, because after the first couple, you're like, why do I keep writing,
right,
you know, the thing? So if the keep square is anemic and doesn't have a lot of entries, that doesn't mean that everything they didn't write is bad and should be dropped. It just means that, like, keep it because it's working, because nobody has any extra thoughts about it.
Which is fine. It is important to highlight the good stuff, though, right?
Yeah.
So, like,
and that's why it's there, is to prompt, like, okay, what is working?
Yeah.
If you say keep something, I'll make sure I continue to put that in your sessions.
Especially for a game master who is debriefing, it's really easy to hear a lot of, you're not doing a good job.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like, why didn't you do this? Or can I have this? And
right, so it helps morale and confidence and whatever to hear what you are doing good at.
What the players like, what is worth keeping, put it in the keep square.
Right, because then also the game master and the other players too is like, no, that person likes that, so I'm going to try to do more of that.
Right.
So we've already kind of talked about improve through the other squares, but I think just saying it again. So improve is probably going to be the most populous box.
Yeah.
Because lots of things could use little tweaks.
I think it's rare that people would put something in drop when they could put it improve. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, this right. type of encounter, it's not that I hated it, but it didn't like work. It'll probably go and improve. So,
right. So, like, thanks for hitting that point, Ian. Because we talked about it. Hit it again. So, like, drop is for stuff that, like, you will stop doing.
Yeah.
And doing, like, none of.
Yeah.
Improve is, I didn't love it. Like, maybe we do it
so
differently.
So how do we improve it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And by dividing things into these squares, you have a lot of, like, actionable paths forward with the different components that make up the holistic experience of a role-playing session or adventure or whole entire campaign.
And so that's the four square method. Again, it is not the only way to do things.
That's just the one that Dane got off the internet. There's probably a bunch.
Well, it wasn't the internet. It was a presentation that I had to sit through at work. Oh. I got paid to sit through that presentation.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Anyways, last little bullet point here. Just talking about debriefs and, like, if you were listening to this and being like, I kind of already do that and, like, I don't really want to respect the time it takes to debrief, because that sounds like extra work.
Or do the preparation.
Right? It's already hard enough to schedule a fucking session. I'm not going to schedule a debrief.
Yeah.
That's a natural feeling, because, like, you get it. We get it. It's done. The thing is done.
Yeah.
We don't need to spend any more time on it. We want to move on to the next thing. We want to start the next campaign.
Right. It could feel like work to do this at all, especially when you take into account everything we said that, like, yeah, you're probably already doing this. We're asking you to be more deliberate and to prepare and to commit to the outcomes of. And now suddenly this thing that you didn't even realize you were already doing most of the time has become a homework assignment. It could be it'd be fair, maybe, mm-hmm. to have a knee-jerk negative reaction to the idea of, oh, more work, or work, mm-hmm. not play. Isn't this supposed to be playtime? Isn't this supposed to be recreation?
And then if you're waiting for it, here it comes again, right? If you're spending deliberate time improving your work, you should spend deliberate time trying to improve your fun, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because it is a hobby that makes or should bring joy, yeah. right?
It should bring people together. It should be fulfilling to participate in because of the social, because of, like, the fantasy element of it. You know, like, it's supposed to be fun. So what we're advocating for is put the effort in to make it more fun. Make it better.
Right.
And improve the experience.
We do talk a lot about optimizing the fun out of things. Mm. Right. And I think bringing that up here is important because you don't want to optimize the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it is supposed to be fun. This is just an idea of, like, how to help improve that fun. And, like, if you don't want to do the Foursquare, that's fine. You don't have to do that and, like, you know, everybody get a notepad and draw a square and everybody silent 5 minutes reflection time.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to. But it is something that you could do. And, you know, it is, if nothing else, like, debriefs are a space to just, like, address the, I'm not having as much fun as I could, or I'm not having as much fun as I want to have.
Mm.
And then, like, you know, just talk about it, basically. Going back to the board.
The board.
Talk about it.
Communication between players and game masters, between the participants of this shared social. I heard a thing that I really liked. There's a guy on YouTube. Oh, I think it was the Mystic Arts channel. And he was talking about why he wasn't fussed about the OGL controversy in late 2024 when Wizards of the Coast tried to, like, turn D&D into essentially a subscription platform and, like, charge you money to participate in the hobby. And he was like, he wasn't fussed about it. And I think everyone who was angry had a completely right and justifiable reaction to Wizards' bullshit corporate move there, right? But also, he called it a folk hobby, and I fucking love that, because, like, you can't take it away from people. It's a thing that, like, you don't learn it out of your book that mm-hmm. you get. Like, you buy the 3 D&D books, or you buy Shadow Dark, you buy Cyborg, whatever. Like, you don't learn it out of the book. You learn it by doing it with other people, and everyone's fucking table is different and has house things,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a thing that, like, a corporation could ever take away from you or charge you to do, because it is just pen and paper and imagination. So, you know, thinking of it that way, thinking of it as a folk hobby, like a folk tradition, essentially,
mm-hmm.
That also has implications for, like, community and enrichment. And I really like thinking about it that mm-hmm. way, because it reinforces what we're saying right now. What we're advocating for is improving, taking the effort to commit to improvement, because it's supposed to be fun, because it's supposed to be community building and culturally enriching.
Yeah. Did anybody ever, like, analogize is that right? the OGL, whatever.
Yeah, the original gaming or the open gaming
open
license.
Gaming license to like Footloose. It's like you can't ban dancing.
Right. No, I've never heard that one before, but that's awesome, right?
Right. You're like, you know, a folk hobby.
Right. You can't fucking ban dancing. That doesn't work. You can't monetize it. You can't charge me to participate in it. It doesn't work that way.
Hmm.
And in the same vein, like, I want to get better at it, not because I want to, like, make your game product better or, like, fulfill some... Or get rich at it, or even I want to participate in it because it's fun and because I like doing it with the people I like hanging out with. So that I think is argument against. Well, it feels like extra work. It is a little bit, but it takes a little bit of work to invest in your community and to commit to the.
Mm-hmm.
To the recreational activities that enrich our lives.
Right, yeah. It's not, I think, what you're saying, and if it's not, it's what I'm saying, is it is work worth doing, which makes it not work.
Yeah, yeah, which makes it enjoyable, makes it not feel like, yeah, it's work. It's not a chore.
It's not a chore.
Shouldn't.
That's a good way to put it.
And maybe even chore, because, you know, chores are things you do to... keep
and
your life
there's,
together.
Yeah, and yeah, there's well, also
it's
some,
language, whatever.
Whatever. All right. So, recap, huh?
Yeah. All right. So, we talked about what debriefing is, being essentially an opportunity to reflect
and learn.
And learn. We talked about the idea that reflection leads to improvement. How do you reflect? And then committing to that improvement. Reflection leads to improvement if you commit to what you reflected on. We talked about preparations. We talked about one specific... we talked about the idea that you should prep. You shouldn't just be like, so how was that? Because you'll get very flim-flammy, non-actionable feedback. Preparation structure is important. We talked about the cool drop, add, keep, improve. There are probably a bunch more... similar sort of templates out there, but something simple like that you could fit on a sticky note and ask your players, like, all I'm asking for is a sticky note.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to do, but a little bit of structure goes a long way, we feel like. A little bit of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about the idea that, yeah, it is work. It's optional, it's extra, but if you're interested in the idea of improving your craft... or improving the experience of everyone involved, then, we wouldn't have made this episode if we didn't think it had value.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. All right. I think that's about it.
I think that's going to do it for this episode of 2HGM.
The 2HGM website is up until it expires, but we have moved basically everything important over to our Patreon, and our Patreon is now just free. We have a little tip jar in there if you want to toss us a buck for the show.
I think the minimum's $3.
The minimum's $3, but...
we don't really know how it works.
Yeah. We'll gladly accept $3, but we're offering basically all we are for free. Following us on Patreon is, that is our social media presence right now. That's how you get in touch with us. That's how you can, you know, email us or participate in things like the Discord or whatever. And that's also where we are going to be putting any, downloadable RPG product stuff that we come up with, which we got some stuff in the works, and also like links to anything that we actually like publish and sell. The 2HGM Patreon
is where
you
to go.
Find that.
That's our hub.
Yep. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pond Hill's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. And we will see y'all in the next one.
See you in the next one.